And Liguori is talking golf on Sunday morning with you, right here on The Fan.
Welcome, Ken Bentley, co-founder of the Advocates Pro Golf Association Tour and Advocates Foundation. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Ken.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on the show.
I know the mission of this tour is to bring greater diversity to the sport by developing African Americans and other minorities for a variety of careers in golf. So tell me more about the tour.
Well, we started 11 years ago, and as you said, as a way to get more diversity into golf. We started from just a conversation I had with a friend of mine, Adrian Stills, who had played on the PGA Tour. And I asked him, why weren't there more African-Americans on the tour? And at the time when we had this conversation, it was only Tiger. And so he said that if we could find a way to get guys to have an avenue to compete, we would be able to get more people on the tour. So with that, I went out, raised some money, created a structure, and we started with basically three tournaments. Now we'll have nine tournaments across the country with $250,000 in prize money. Three guys who have played our tour are now on the PGA Tour. And really a goal of ours now is not only to get the guys playing on tour, but provide other job opportunities, because there's so many opportunities in golf outside of playing that we'd like to prepare people for that.
Great. So who is playing on the PGA Tour who went through the APGA Tour?
Harold Varner, Tony Finau, and Joseph Bramlett are guys that played our tour. So those guys are doing well on the PGA Tour, and they played in our tournaments.
That's awesome. I mean, Harold Varner III, he has been very vocal about improving diversity in golf. He released a statement a couple weeks ago that really I thought came from the heart and was very moving and powerful, Ken. And he did great at, you know, the Charles Schwab Challenge, the first PGA Tour back when they resumed the schedule. And what do you think his impact as one of, you know, three black players on the PGA Tour will be at this point? I mean, he is playing well, and he seems to be very committed to speaking out and really doing all he can to improve diversity in golf.
Well, I think it's going to mean a lot. I think the better he does, the more impact it'll have. And he's playing well. And Joseph Bramlett that same week came in second in a Korn Ferry Tour event.
Oh, great.
So, and Cameron Champ has done well. He's only been on tour for 2 years, and he's already won twice. So I think there's a lot of talent. And these guys really seem committed to growing the game. Cameron Champ, actually, when he was in L.A., went out to Compton. Outside of the media, just went over to Compton and did a clinic at their par 3 course there for a number of African-American kids. So I think all three of these guys are really committed to growing the game. And to see them doing well will inspire a whole nother generation, just like Tiger did.
And as you say, you know, it's more than just competing, training for the, you know, for the PGA Tour, if you can qualify for that. You know, golf is really a lifestyle, and golf is full of business opportunities and networking opportunities. And so the APGA Tour, how does the APGA really prepare players for the business of golf per se?
Well, we hold sessions with the guys about, you know, how to do resumes. We talk to them about careers. It's a tough conversation for a lot of our guys because they're so focused on playing.
Sure.
But we talk to them about life after golf. Like a favorite story I had is that I heard Magic Johnson speak. He came to Nestle. I used to work for Nestle, and he came to Nestle to speak. And he said the first day he set foot on campus at Michigan State, he went to the dean of the business school and said, you know, I want to prepare for when my career is over. And that's what I tell our guys. One day you know, you're not going to, even if you make it to the PGA Tour, one day all that's going to end, and you want to prepare for that. And so we try and get the guys to think about that. We're also focused on younger kids. We hold clinics for kids. We talk to them about careers, and we give them golf lessons. We introduce the game to them. We're going to have a black college tournament, the APGA Tour Black College Classic, in October. And part of the classic is that we're bringing in recruiters from the companies that sponsor us, and they're actually going to interview those college players. So we'll be talking to them about how to interview before they actually do it. But it's a great opportunity for these guys, most of which won't even play on the APGA Tour. So when their college careers end, they're going to go right to a career. And we think they'd be great for golf. And that's why we're bringing in recruiters to talk to them.
That's wonderful. Well, diversity in golf has been a big issue through the years, and particularly during these last few weeks, attention on diversity is under the microscope. Do you think golf is doing enough in this area?
Well, the short answer is they could do a lot more. And I think that they are looking to do more. I've had meetings with the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour actually has been a sponsor of ours since 2012. So they got on with us early on when we were just in our infancy stage and really gave us a lot of credibility. But they've had conversations with myself and other people about how they can now step up their game to make sure that they can really accelerate the pace to develop African-Americans for the tour. And they are really interested in developing African-Americans, other minorities for other careers. Because if you think about it, there's tournament directors, there are marketing people, sales people, and all the thousands of people that it takes to put on a golf tournament and to run an organization like the PGA Tour. So there's great opportunities in golf. And so we want to make sure that our guys are able to take advantage of some of those opportunities.
I know you're on the board of Tiger Woods Foundation, TGR, most impressive foundation, which empowers students to pursue their passions through education. Talk a little bit about Tiger. Has he been able to help your tour?
Well, yes, he has in some ways. The tournament in Los Angeles, the Genesis tournament for the PGA Tour, Tiger's Foundation owns that tournament. And they give a Charlie Sifford exemption every year, which goes to a minority player who shows a lot of promise. And the great majority of the players that have gotten that award have come through our association, our APGA Tour. So we have a partnership with them that our player of the year is a finalist for that award. So that's been the main partnership we have. But I think Tiger has done so much for education, and it's amazing being on the foundation board and seeing firsthand what the foundation does for education. I mean, and Tiger is at every single board meeting. He knows every one of the scholars. He's intimately involved in the strategy of the organization, the direction. I mean, it's incredible to see him at every single board meeting. Even when he was going through his back problems and many surgeries, he still participated in every board meeting, even if it was on the phone. So I got to give him, I mean, he's basically decided that education is his way to give back. And he's done a tremendous job in that.
Absolutely. I know the programs there foster a growth mindset, instilling in students the strength and skills to persevere and to find their own path. And education is the key. And it's so important that, you know, he's, you know, lent his platform and influence in that way. Now, you know, he tweeted out a short statement in the last couple of weeks about the tragedy of George Floyd, yet he was criticized by various black athletes and broadcasters for not taking a stronger stance I was wondering, Ken, what your thoughts are about, you know, black athletes, particularly superstar athletes like a Tiger, using their platforms for change.
Well, I actually love it. I mean, if you look at LeBron James, to me, he's the classic role model for athletes. He started his school in Akron, which he totally funds. You know, he speaks his mind on issues. But I think it really is an individual thing. I was friends with Arthur Ashe. I was a tennis player growing up. And we used to spend a lot of time talking about that. And I was a kid. I was really young then. But, you know, he really talked to me a lot about how important it was to use whatever platform I had for social change. So from a young age, that was my orientation. But I do think that each individual athlete has to decide what's best for him or her. And LeBron James has decided, you know, he wants to be front and center and be part of change. I think Tiger has decided that he wants education to be the platform that he uses. So,
right.
You know, I respect, you know, all athletes, and they do it the way that makes them feel comfortable.
Right. And you can't win, right? You can't please everybody, yeah. Right?
No, you can't. And you can't please everybody.
You have that kind of influence and that kind of platform, you know, you're going to rub feathers either way. So what's the secret to your success story? I mean, you've had a tremendous career. You, as you said, you were a retired executive at Nestle's USA, and you're on the board of the Tiger Woods Foundation, the Southern California Tennis Association. I could go on and on. You've had, you know, many influential, you know, positions. And now with this APGA tour and the Advocates Foundation, you're doing great work.
Well, thank you. It's been a passion of mine from a young age. My parents were all involved in community service. And as I mentioned, I was fortunate enough to meet Arthur Ashe at a young age. And so I had a bunch of role models that were involved in the community. And so I kind of always felt like if there was going to be a change, then I had to take it upon myself to be part of that change. So I've always wanted to get involved. And I think that the main reason I've had any sort of success is I've had a lot of people support me. And that's why it's so important to have role models for young people. The Tiger Woods Foundation, they provide each one of their scholarship winners with a role model and a mentor. And I think it's just so important that kids have role models. And you talk about going back to Varner and Cameron Champ and Joseph Bramlett. With those guys being out front and on TV, I think they'll be tremendous role models for kids and really make our work a lot easier, because they'll get a lot of kids wanting to play golf and wanting to be like those guys.
Sure. And through the years, I had the opportunity to interview the great Arthur Ashe, Ken, and Jim Brown. I've had many interviews with Jim Brown, who, you know, mm-hmm. has really been a civil rights activist for as long as I've known him. I've had the opportunity to interview Tiger, Michael Jordan. I mean, these are inspiring, you know, just star athletes who can really make a difference.
Right. Yeah, and they have in their own way. I mean, Jim Brown, to do what he did a long time ago was amazing. I mean, Jim quit playing football at his peak. And
that's right. Only 9 years.
He was one of the first athletes to speak out. You know, Jim really kind of set the standard. Then you got Muhammad Ali and Arthur Ashe was just my hero as a tennis player, because he really was outspoken on South Africa. I remember when Nelson Mandela first got out of prison, the first person he asked to meet was Arthur Ashe, because Ashe was the first person to play in an integrated before an integrated audience. So that's the kind of influence he had. If Nelson Mandela could meet anybody in the world that he wanted to. He was world famous. The one guy he wanted to meet was Arthur Ashe. And that shows you the power of sport and the power that athletes have. Because it wasn't the president of the United States that he wanted to meet. It was Arthur Ashe.
Right.
So I do think athletes have tremendous power.
Absolutely. And you, talking about Jim Brown, I remember when he started the American program, teaching life management skills to gang members. And he invited me to actually sit in one of his sessions in his home in the Hollywood Hills, you know, where the members of the Crips and the Bloods were there. And he was the mediator. And it was just unbelievable to watch, you know, him, you know, try to talk peace and educate these guys. So, it's just unbelievable to watch, you know, some of these athletes and what they can do with their platforms. So, and you mentioned Charlie Sifford. I was so excited that Charlie Sifford used to teach golf, you know, after he retired from the PGA Tour at the little golf course that I used to play at in Brecksville, Ohio, where I grew up. So I was so honored that Charlie Sifford was there. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Did you meet his son? His son, Charlie Sifford Jr., is involved with our organization. He's really a nice
guy. I heard he went to our high school. I didn't meet him.
Oh, is that right?
He's involved with the APGA?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we started the Charlie Sifford Development Fund, where we try to use funds to help players with their medical expenses or just various life expenses. And Charlie allowed us to use his dad's name. But Charlie's done a lot to keep his dad's name alive. I went to the ceremony when his dad was inducted into the PGA of America Hall of Fame, and Charlie gave a really nice speech there. But I had a chance. I used to be a journalist, and so I had a chance to write a story on Charlie Sifford. And I spent a couple hours with him. He was an amazing guy. The stories he had and the things that he went through. We hear a lot about what Jackie Robinson went through. And Jackie, you know, was just unbelievable what he had to deal with. But just think about being the only African-American at a country club in a venue like that where they had a white-only clause in the PGA, charter. And here's Charlie Sifford, you know, just trying to make a 5-foot putt with people calling them names and all kinds of stuff. So Charlie is, you know, is a tremendous role model, and somebody that, you know, a lot of our guys, I wish they knew more about Charlie.
Absolutely. I really think we need to be more educated about his incredible life and career and what he had to go through. Ken, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show, and continued success with the APGA Tour and the Advocates Foundation. And you and Adrian Stills, keep up the great work, please.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on and talking a little bit about golf.